You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 858. We're the Fight Disciples. This is your MMA preview for the weekend coming up. They're just settled on UFC 299, the Sugar Show. He's still in town. Everybody's still talking about it, and everybody's still talking about Dustin Poirier landing big right hands on Benoit Saint Denis. But we're going to move on, and we're heading towards the Apex this weekend for some more MMA action. All good. Bit of British interest in there as well. We'll get to Corey McKenna and the big boys, the Thai two of asses of this world and the marching Thai Buddhas in a moment. But first and foremost, let's get into a little bit of news here because I've got a bit of goss. We can throw some goss around at the start of the show. Maybe get people a little excited. But first and foremost, they announced the tough coaches for this season, mate. We haven't even concluded last season's tough yet. We haven't had that fight yet, have we, between Mr. McGregor and Mr. Chandler? We haven't even had that one signed off. But they are going for Alexa Grasso, Valentina Shevchenko as the tough coaches, which then leads us to believe that we are going to get part three between these girls. Grasso, of course, submitting Shevchenko to take the title. Then we had the draw. And it looks like we're going to go for part three at some point this year. My little bet, and I know it's an obvious one, pal. It's going to feature in it at the Sphere on the Noche weekend, you would think, with Alexa Grasso being Mexican. You would think that this fight, in some way, shape, or form, I'm not saying it's going to be the main event, but you would think that this would feature on that card.
And yeah, I think it might be the main event, to be honest with you. It would make absolute sense for it to be the main event, especially if they get, you know, a couple of, I haven't seen the full lineup. I know Nathan Fletcher from Liverpool's in the lineup on Tough, but I haven't seen the full lineup. But especially if they can get, you know, a couple of Mexicans through to the later stages and therefore on the undercard of a Tough finale event, I think it makes absolute sense. I think it's a weird one, Tough, because it's the same, isn't it, all the time. Yeah. And I thought we were... Last year, we were spoiled because McGregor versus Chandler were the coaches. And I was like, this is how you do a Tough, man. You get two big names like that. This is where the eyeballs come, blah, blah, blah. And I've got to be honest, I didn't watch a single episode.
I watched the first one and then it just went.
I just wasn't interested in it whatsoever. I tried to come back. Obviously, I didn't watch it whenever it went out live on TNT in the UK, whether it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, whatever. I didn't once watch it when it was on. I recorded the entire season. I never got through a single full episode. And the lack of headlines coming out of it meant that I was never bought in on it. You know, you need stuff to happen on the show to generate headlines to make you go, what? He did what? Oh, my God, I've got to go and watch that. I just think the formula works in terms of finding new talent. But it's just old hat now. It's like the new, I've seen on British TV there, Big Brother started again. Who gives a flying fuck? Do you know what I mean? Who cares about Big Brother? Who is actually watching that garbage?
Mate,
nobody.
It's a concept
10 years old and well past its sell-by date. And I think Tough now, we need to come up with a new idea. UFC needs a new idea to find new talent.
We need to bring in some, do you know, like the original drawings of the octagon where you had sharks and crocodiles and
electrified fences and that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We need that. If you can get through that, you can fight in the UFC. That's basically where we need to go.
Yeah. What about like a gladiator thing? Like more of a gladiator setup So, like, people come in and they have to, like, you know, spar with such and such a fighter or roll jiu-jitsu. You've got to survive 5 minutes with this, like, you know, Gilbert Burns.
Yeah,
you've got to go, otherwise you're eliminated and stuff like that, and you win a point system. I don't know, man. There's got to be something a bit
more. So you're
more...
saying bring out the top 10 as gladiators.
Bingo.
Right.
And just get and them you've to, got... get these kids based in Las Vegas and they have to do these challenges along the way. And the longer you last on a jiu-jitsu mat with Gilbert Burns, the higher point score you get. And at the end of the season, whoever's got the most point scores, bring Ronda Rousey in. How long can you move around with Ronda before suffering an armbar? Like, all that kind of stuff.
Love it.
See what I mean?
I do actually like that. Do you know, like, because they've revamped the actual Gladiators TV show, haven't they?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what you do, you bring out your stars, you bring out your top tenners. Legends,
mm-hmm.
and they're just allowed to run wild. So you feed them this new meat, and there's no rule. Well, there is rules. There's obviously MMA rules, but they're allowed to knock them out. They're allowed to snap their arms. They're allowed to just beat the shit out of them. Let's find out who doesn't get the shit beaten out of them. Yeah, proper gladiator stuff, like proper Maximus.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained? All that type of thing. Keep them in a cage as well. You know what I mean? Like, keep them like all locked up, feral. Get them absolutely rabid. Yes, like this.
But just imagine the big moments if you put a guy in there. And Charles Oliveira's he's done a round now with seven fellas, and they've all one of the guy lasted 3 minutes, the other two lasted 90 seconds. These are novices, the guys with less than 10 fight records who are trying.
Yeah, you're expecting the gladiator to consistently win.
Yeah, but then some motherfucker gets in there and just chokes out Charles Oliveira, and you're like, oh. And he gets extra 50 points or whatever it might be. Mate, that'd be sick because you're tuning every week to go, I wonder which gladiator is going to get
mate,
on
that's
this.
The one, isn't it? Beat a gladiator, get to the UFC. If you can't beat him, fuck off.
Well, do you know what I'd do it? Oh, my God. Do you know how I'd do it? In like a running man style. Remember the movie?
Yes.
You're running through each zone. You've got no idea. And suddenly here comes Dynamo in a car. Driving a big car with lights everywhere. That could be like fucking Rampage Jackson fucking smashing people everywhere.
Mate, that's the one. So the contender, just you're in the octagon. You're in the smoke cage at the apex. And they just bring out a gladiator. You have no idea what style it is. You have no idea who it is. They just bring out a gladiator. And then here comes Charles Oliveira. Oh my God, it's fucking, you know, Tom Aspinall or something like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Shit.
Exactly.
Beat him. No chance. Bang. And he just goes through everybody one after the other. Mega.
But your point system is based on how long you last in that round. I don't think a lot of people could probably last a round with certain people, but...
No, you've got to win. If you don't win, you're not coming to the UFC. If you don't win, you're not coming to the UFC.
Well, it should be like America's Got Talent then as well, shouldn't it? So if you beat the gladiator, you're automatically you're in the UFC now.
If
you survive, you're back next week. And if you lose, boom, there's the door, you're done.
Yeah. See, we just there you go. Dana, you're welcome. Sorted it, mate. Bring in the old guard. That's what they should have done. Can you imagine that? Right, you're all fighting Conor McGregor this week. What? Eh?
Yeah.
Conor's backhanding all these novices for fun, like just pinging them all over the gaff.
But it's a good way as well to like bring back GSP. Bring back, you know what I mean? Just fucking bring back Hall of Fame legends just for little one-off hits and all that.
Do you know like them ones that do get through these levels? You've got to get through the final boss. Who's the final boss? The final boss today is Anderson Silva. Yeah. And he comes straight in the spider and goes, right, man, I'm 50 years of age, but I'm still going to kick all your asses. Let's go.
Fucking amazing. That'd be so good. So good.
Right. I'll take that. I'll pitch that next week. Let's see if we can get that sorted. There you go. Yeah. That's how we sort the new tough format at. But as a fight, Grasso Shevchenko, well in on it. It's going to be interesting to see if it does drop in the sphere for that Noche weekend, mate. Because that,
I think it will.
Like I say, we're both absolutely all in on finding out how the sphere hosts a UFC event. It's just going to be mental, absolutely madness.
So if they're filming now, it should be released in the summer. And it'll probably run for, you know, what is it, like 8 weeks or something like that, which would take us to June, July. Be wrapped up by the TV show wrapped up by August. So the timing is perfect.
September's notch here, yeah.
Perfect.
Did you see that the PFL announced their new season lineup? 60 fighters, 22 from the PFL, 34 from Bellator, and they've brought in 4 unsigned to make up those 60 fighters for their regular season. The reason why I bring this up, obviously there's British interest in this. San Antonio, April the 4th, that is the first show, PFL 1. And Dakota DeChiva is going to be on that card. She's going to be in the featured prelim. The female flyweight title is also on the line on that one. So it's interesting to see Dakota obviously matched on the same card.
Dakota's first fight in the flyweight tournament, is it? Yeah.
In the regular season. So obviously she fought European last year. So this is back in the regular season. So she's on the San Antonio card. And then he kind of told us last week when he was on our live show, 2 weeks after that, April 19th, in Chicago, Brendan Lochner is back and he will be facing Pedro Carvalho. That's the co-main event of that card in Chicago. Brett Johns is also on that card as well. So a bit of Welsh interest as well. So there you go.
Ooh. So we might get a Brit-on-Brit violence in that if it plays out.
If it all aligns. So there you go. Dakota DeChiva, April 4th in San Antonio, and Brendan is back April 19th, Chicago. Interesting to see how Brendan, I mean, it's new to him. First time he's ever been stopped. So let's see what's what. Pedro Carvalho, good opponent, good bounce back, and he's in the co-main. So let's see what's what. Do you want some goss?
Brett Johns as well, man. Brett Johns going into PFL is... Into that tournament, I mean, into the tournament format. It's interesting.
He had he had a little flirt with it last year, didn't he? Because obviously he's been one of them fighters that's been well overlooked, Brett Johns, like not getting a love with promoters and all that type of stuff. PFL gave him, Dan Hardy obviously knows all about him and knew how talented he was. Gave him an opportunity last year and he was brilliant. Went in, bounced in, and now he's got an opportunity in Chicago on April the 19th.
But he's got, with all due respect to Brett, and I like the kid an awful lot, but he's a fucking gym rat. He loves it. He loves fighting. And I think the tournament format will suit him stylistically, I believe, because...
Similar to Brendan. To Brendan. That attitude.
Going back to back, 3-4 fights in a year to win $1 million. It takes a certain type of fighter, a certain type of mentality. The mentality that Brett Johns has got. So interesting.
Yeah. Do you want some goss?
Always.
Had a little bit of a back and forth with Mohamed Mokhaev the other day.
How's he doing? Saudi show, is he?
Calm down, son. Calm down. Listen, you know what he asked for.
Roy Valley did, yeah.
No, he asked for Pantoja at 301. He's what he asked for.
Oh, he did, yeah. But then he kind of went, listen, I ain't getting that, so bring me Roy Val.
Has he come out publicly and said that, has he?
Yes, he has, yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. Right. Anyway, we were having a conversation back and forth. Listen, he's still in the conversation for 301 and Pantoja. Nothing's confirmed as of yet regarding that. But if he isn't to get that, he wants, like you've just said there, he wants Roy Val in a final eliminator for the winner of Pantoja and whoever. The and whoever might be Steve Ersig, you know.
Wow.
Off the back of a devastating victory. And this all comes down to contenders being available and those that Pantoja hasn't already smashed. So he's gone through the majority of the division. You look at the people, the runners and riders in the top 10 that are available. Obviously, Mo's one of them. Steve Ersig is another one. You've got a couple of others that you could highlight, but are they fit and available? We've highlighted the people like Albazi. Did Roy Val do enough last time out? Does Roy Val deserve to go straight back in with Pantoja, given the fact that Pantoja beat him quite convincingly last December? You've obviously got Moreno. Moreno's coming off the back of a loss. Listen, Pantoja's been here, done it, and got the T-shirt. He's gone through the majority of these when he wasn't champion. So he kind of needs something a little bit new and fresh. He's fighting in Brazil in front of his home people. Mo's still in the conversation, 4-3-0-1. But Steve Ersig is also in that conversation. That'll be really interesting to see if they go down that route, seeing as that he's only been here for a heartbeat.
Yeah, but he's a banger, isn't he?
Well, he made a statement.
That's what I mean.
He put Chanel out, so he's made a statement.
With all due respect for the statement Mo's putting together and these finishes that he keeps getting, Mo's consistently doing time on the clock, which is good for his own personal development, don't get me wrong. Whereas Ersig's lighting the place up. Ersig's got a little bit more of a that knockout was a highlight reel knockout in any weight division, in any class. So when you're selling a fight to the Brazilian audience, you can go, wow, look at this guy. This guy brings something that real power, real jeopardy. Whereas Mo's strength is the same as Pantoja's strength, really. It's that heavy grappling game, the submission game. So
yeah,
maybe that's what the UFC are thinking. Maybe they're thinking, yeah, man, let's give it to Ersig. And maybe they're thinking Mo needs another win.
One more.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they are.
Apologies to those that tune into our review show for UFC 299. We missed somebody off, and I can't believe we missed him off. We got all in on Sugar Sean, didn't we? And we all got wild on Dustin and various other bits and bats. The big heavyweight, Rebellis, Despain. We didn't speak about him.
We did. We talked about it. We ticked the box. We said, what a fantastic... The big Cuban kid. Yeah, we talked about it. We did.
Did
we? Didn't go big on it. We talked about it, yeah, 100%.
18-second UFC debut.
Yeah, 100%. We mentioned it, yeah. Because I remember bringing it up.
Right, apologies. But four straight knockout fights that have culminated in 37 seconds worth of action is absolutely ridiculous. UFC debut, 18 seconds. And he's making that debut at 35 years of age as well. I mean, he ain't going to wait around, man. They're not going to mess about. If you've got them type of numbers and them type of stats, somebody somewhere at the UFC matchmaking office is going to go, stick him in with someone really, really
Pavlovich. Stick him in.
The reason why I brought him up, and I think it leads to this weekend. Tai Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good shout.
Do you just go, right, go on then. You're in with one of these lads. We'll put it on a numbered card. We'll put it on something decent for you. Go on, Rebellis. You're off to Brazil at 301 against Tai Tuivasa. Fancy a dance or Marcin Tybura? Anyway,
yeah.
That leads us on nicely to what we're seeing this weekend. I actually think this is good matchmaking because both of these guys are in a little bit of a weird place, aren't they? Especially Tai. Jeez, what was it? 5-6 straight, looking good. Everybody's saying Tai Tuivasa and his shoeies are on his way to a title shot. Runs into Cyril Gane.
Yeah.
And then he just can't put it together again. He's lost three on the spin. He's lost them all via finish. Choked out last time, and it seemed like he just didn't fancy it, if I'm dead honest, from Ty's point of view. He needs to get back on the train, man, this weekend against Marcin Tybura, who himself is coming off the back of a devastating loss to our very own Tom Aspinall.
Yeah, I think when you're guys like this, certainly when you look at Tai Tuivasa, super entertainment, super fan favourite, but very similar in the mode of Mark Hunt and the Justin Taffers and Junior Taffers of this world.
Oh, I love the Taffers.
From that same part of the world. Hugely entertaining. A striker's paradise. Love these guys. Could watch them fight all day. And they fight inside the octagon exactly like they probably fight on the street. But there's technical holes in their game. And the hole in their game is that, one, they come out swinging. And if you're clean, effective work, you can do a number on them because you're fighting heavyweights. And any of these big boys hit you on the chin, you're going to go. But then there's also a hole in the grappling side of it as well, which is what we saw last time out with Alexander Volkov. We've got that takedown, and Tai just couldn't live with him down there. And obviously we've seen the Ezekiel choke from Volkov in the end.
Hmm.
It's incredible that Tai put that 5-win run together. But when you look at that 5-win run, probably peaking with Derek Lewis, you kind of go like, okay, well, that's they're the B-level heavyweights. What are you going to do against the A-level heavyweights? And against the A-level heavyweights, the Cyril Gane, the Pavlovich, the Volkovs, that's where he's come up short. Where is he now? You know, can he rise back above the two of them? Because, you know, this weekend, with all due respect, with Tai Borda's probably in a similar kind of space.
Exactly the same, yeah.
But Volkov's in a similar kind of space as well. Do you know what I mean? Volkov, okay, has beaten both of these guys. You'd probably say he's Volkov's the bottom end of the A-level heavyweights. But Tai Borda, where is he at? Where is he at right now? They've beaten the same type of guys, the Greg Hardys of this world and people like that. Beating those guys consistently, they can't beat the top echelon guys. So it's a good bit of matchmaking. You know, the serious questions are going to be asked in both regards. Obviously, you'd think Tai Borda's going to have the advantage in the grappling up close exchanges. you know, every fight starts on its feet. They're both going to come out swinging. Literally anything could happen. Taibora's got a black belt in jiu-jitsu, though, and you've got to kind of lean towards there should the fight eventually hit the ground. But whatever magic Tai had, he's got to find it again, man. He's got to find that magic again. Can't afford another loss.
Does he find it in the apex?
It's not ideal, is it?
No, because he's a showman. He loves the crowd. He loves to come out to Barbie Girl and all these crazy tunes. He likes a bit of a dance. He likes to feel the energy of the thing. And then he likes to detonate and deliver.
But the good thing, has that been a distraction then? So we talk about the sports psychology of this game so much about breaking that mindset, going back to doing something else. There's no point coming out to Barbie Girl and doing a shimmy and playing around because there's fucking only Dana and half the UFC staff in there. So you play up into, or do you just walk out and go, my career's on the line here. I'm going to batter this guy and just keep your focus. Does it help him keep his focus? Is it not a bad thing that Tuivasa is at the apex behind closed doors against Taibora, absolutely winnable fight, where his focus is on that, not where's the guy with the shoey and the beer for when I celebrate on top of the cage? So I think it could be a little bit of a blessing for him. I really do.
If you're Taibora, you're wrestling, don't you, straight away? Taibora's not had a stoppage victory since June 21. So he's had defeats in there. I know he's been out for a period of time. He's had fights fall off and what have you. But if you're him, there is, and you've seen, you don't want to stand and trade with Tai Tuivasa, do you?
No.
So there is a path of least resistance. Do that. Can Tai keep it up? And can Tai land? Because all, you know, you never know. I just, like you said, they're both in a very similar space. Mm-hmm. They're both, it's a great piece of matchmaking in a similar space, but there's a path there for Marcin Taibora to get himself back on the track.
The mad thing is as well, there's a path there for victory for both men, looking at the last fights. All Tai Tuivasa's got to do is do what Tom Aspinall did. Slip in nice and fast and let a straight 1-2 go down the middle and drop Taibora and do exactly the same thing. And for Taibora, all you got to do is do exactly what Alexander Volkov did last time out. Close the distance, take him down, take him to a place he doesn't want to be, put him on his back. You know, for as entertaining as these big, you know, Samoan, Australasian powerhouses are and as attractive they are on their feet, they're like fucking turtles when you get them on the back. And that's what Taibora will be thinking. Take him down. And keep him down.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know where Ty's based these days. Is he still in? Is he still with Big Thailand. Tam out in Dubai, or
Dubai, yeah.
Is he in Thailand these days? Is he back in Australia? I don't know, because the part of that lightning in the bottle time seemed to be when he was based in Dubai. I don't know if he's there anymore. So, he's for knowing Ty, he's probably based in America these days because he's kind of all over the place. So, it's an intriguing main event. I don't know what, you know. I don't know what the ramifications are for the win and the loser. They don't necessarily jump here or jump there or the opportunities there. Maybe, as you say, it's welcoming that big Cuban into his step-up opponent into the top 15. Maybe that's the sour reward for the victor here, but it might even be the sour reward for the loser here. So, yeah, man, it's a good main event. Intriguing. Ramifications, not really existent.
No. It's a fight for relevance, isn't it? It's a fight for relevance, I suppose. And we say this about these Apex cards all the time. People can dog on them and you can say what you want. And listen, we're probably in a similar headspace to you. Yes, we know that there are certain levels now to these UFC events. You've got your big numbers like we saw last weekend at 299, which are just off the chain. You've got some really quality fight night cards that you can get extremely excited about, which bring out the fans, local fighters, all catered for local audiences. And then you've got this, which seems to be, obviously, the energy levels are a touchdown because you're behind closed doors and you're getting a lot of people that are being asked the question of should you be in the UFC, is the question. Now, I'm not talking Tai Tuivasa and Marcin Taibora. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking a little bit further down the card. You're getting names that you don't necessarily know too much about. But what you are getting is some really good matchmaking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
For example, the co-main event between Brian Battle and Ange Lucer, right? Most people listening to this, never heard of them, don't know what the script is with those two fellas, right? But they're both coming off back-to-back wins, both looking good. We don't know how far either of them are going to go. And this is the beautiful thing about matchmaking in the UFC. You don't then give him another tin can, give him another one of these. Let's keep building him. Let's keep building him. Now, because people lose interest. Yep. You're here now. You've won two. Okay. Fight each other. That's it. Fight each other, stick them in the cage and let's see what's what. One of you is going to come out of here and propel yourself further forward. We're going to give you the co-main slot. TV, decent time zone. If you can come through this, then you're probably going to be starting talking about maybe being one of the early fights on a numbered card or one of the featured fights on a fight night card. That's what you're fighting for here in this particular fight. I think it's great matchmaking. I'm interested because last time out, Ange Lucer beat Reese McKee. I rate Reese McKee very, very highly, even though obviously we all know that Hamzat went through him like a dose of salts. We all know that. He also had, in the contender series that I did watch, he went life and death with Jack Della Maddalena, this fella.
That's right. Jack Warren got signed and he didn't, yeah.
Yeah. But then I think he went away and then he got his debut. He lost his debut, but he went life and death with Jack Della Maddalena. So he's at a level. He's Ange Lucer. And Brian Battle's looked really, really good in his last couple of fights, man. I think this is great matchmaking.
Yeah, as you say, they're not necessarily two household names, far from it. But they're guys that have been given this opportunity. And it's quite high up on the card. I'm quite surprised when the fight before it is Kennedy and Cheku versus OSP, because they are far more established names and rather like the main event, the two veterans of the light heavyweight division that are fighting to stay relevant and fighting to stay in the big show. So I'm surprised it's gone above that. Maybe my matchmakers know something that we don't, or maybe it's just purely down to name value in terms of nicknames, because you've got the Swiss Ninja taking on Pooh Bear. So there you go. Maybe that's what it's all about. Pooh Bear. You'd kill whoever in the gym. Imagine your name's Brian Battle and you're a mixed martial artist and the lads in the gym give you the name Pooh Bear. You'd fucking go mad, wouldn't you? My name's Battle, for Christ's sake. The best you could come up with was Pooh Bear.
Sweet like honey, man. Sweet like honey. That's where he must be.
Oh, is that where your mind went? You were like, oh, right, yeah, like honey, smooth, blah, blah. Oh, I was more like he leaves, you know, skid marks in the toilet or something. My mate, I went the other way with it. Like it's a derogatory nickname, not a complimentary. Old skid mark over there, Brian Battle.
Skid marks. What a guy. Orvis St. Preux. Still here, man. Still battling on, the fella. Gotta love him, OSP, mate. Taking on Kennedy Zichiku. Who's right? It's mad. Right. This fight is mad. OSP lost three of his last five, right? Lost seven of his last 10, this fella. Mm-hmm. In that period of time, so 5 years, 12 fights have fallen off. He's had 12 other fights, as well as the ones that he's had. He's had 12 other fights booked, and they've all fallen off various dates for whatever reason. Kennedy looked like he was getting it together. Three finishes on the spin, looked really good, and then lost last time out. Again, from a matchmaking point of view, it feels like, all right, Kennedy, sound man, go and get your train back on the track against the geezer that everybody knows. But for us, obviously, Peru's point of view, it's like, come on, man, let's put it together. Let's be the guy that you once upon a time was, the guy that got to the top of the tree, that got to fight for the title. But it does feel like it's a, let's put the train back on the track for Kennedy, Zid Sheku.
Yeah, you would think so. And you know, as you say, he put a good run together before he
looked great, mate. Out, but he looked really good.
He really was. I don't think he's ranked as of yet, but he was closing in on a ranking. And then, you know, obviously the wheels come off with the loss. But when you look at who he's lost to good guys. You know, it's four defeats in his 16 fights. He's losing to the likes of Paul Craig and, you know, a decent level opposition. So he's doing something right. I think right now is the perfect time to face OSP. If you can get OSP actually into the octagon, as you've just described them, he pulls up more than anything else. And Cheku's beaten the likes of Ion Cutelaba and people like that. People like OSP have pulled out against numerous times and whatever else. So maybe that's why it's deeper down the card. Maybe it's just in case that OSP doesn't actually make it inside the octagon. But listen, I don't want to take the piss, because he's had like over 40 professional, it's like 45 professional fights in. He's been in the UFC forever. He's a legit guy. Absolutely legit. He's been almost to the very top. You name it, in the light heavyweight division, OSP has faced fucking everybody. So, okay, he's not as active as he used to be anymore. But, you know, at one time, he's fighting John Jones. He's fighting, you know, Jan Blachowicz. He's fighting Volkan Uzdemir. He's fighting our own Jimmy Manoa, like Shogun Hua, Ryan Bader, who went away and being a champion somewhere else. He's fighting the best guys in the division and holding his own against a bunch of them as well. But, you know, he is 40 years of age now, and maybe the body is reacting the way it used to. Maybe he has to pull out some more fights and everything else. So I don't want to take the piss out of him, because, mate, for what he's done, to be around for this long in the UFC is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just have a quick look there. He's had 26. This is his 27th fight in the UFC. That's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. To be able to stay at this level for that long deserves so much credit. And he's always got a mad submission up his sleeve, Annie. He's always capable of doing something mental.
Yeah. When you obviously, I read his record out, right? He's won three of his last five. Lost seven of his last 10. But when you look at it, he's always entertaining. It's you or him. Like you've just said there. He could be getting absolutely splattered all over the gaff, and then all of a sudden some mad little submission comes from somewhere. The old Von Prue. As it's now referred to. So he is okay. He ain't winning. All right, he's not going to be a title contender at this age now. He's been there, he's done that, and he's been in with the very best guys. But he does deliver for a television audience every single time, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. The summit, and Kennedy Zcherku, before the last loss, three great finishes on the spin, the penny had dropped. Someone's getting stopped. Someone is getting stopped, and it's going to be relatively quick, I would imagine, because these are big lads that throw a lot of power and do have multifaceted skills too. It's going to be, I would say, if we get the second round, I'll be gobsmacked.
OSP will be playing for the long game, but Cheku needs to just go out there and let his hands go, man.
Yeah.
Let his hands go.
What else jumps off the page for you before we talk about Cody McKenna?
Well, I always like to talk about undefeated guys because, you know, they've got the potential here to go on. Christian Rodriguez, who's 10-1, from Rufus Sport, is taking on, I think this is still on the main card as well, Isaac Bulgarian.
Yeah.
So you've got C-Rod, aptly named there, taking on the Midwest Chopper, which is Dulgarian's name. That's a fucking sensational.
You love talking about the nicknames, don't you? You love it.
The Midwest Chopper is a sensational name. He's 6-0 into his career. He's brand new as a pro. He's had one fight in the UFC, won it by first round stoppage, ground and pound. All six of his professional fights have been stoppages, four knockouts and two submissions from his early days as well. He's got an undefeated amateur career that started in 2019. So this is a guy that knows his way around the octagon, but maybe he's from a smaller gym, swimming with the sharks now. Rodriguez may not have the name value, but he's certainly got the gym value. Rufus Sport is no joke. If you're ticking along and you're turning pro out of Rufus Sport, then you know what you're doing. So C-Rod versus the Chopper is my one to look out with there. But other than that, I think we drop all the way down to our girl, Corey McKenna, who is the first. When was the last time we've seen her? It's been a while.
She didn't fight 2023. She fought three times in 2022. If you remember, the last time I personally saw her was when she was on the London. She got beat in London. So she came over and fought on the London card.
Elise Reed, yeah.
So she lost that, and then she went away. I think she got two victories during 2022, but then she didn't fight at all last year. She didn't fight at all. I don't know the reasons for that, whether it's injury or personal life. Obviously, this is a young girl. I mean, we highlighted her when I interviewed her a couple of years ago. She up sticks, chasing a dream, gone to go and live in California, working with Team Alpha Male in order to grow her skill set, and got herself into the UFC through Contender Series. And now she's 24 years of age, and this is her first appearance in the best part of 15 months.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what that development's been like behind closed doors over that 15-month period. Because watching Corey, there's gaps in there. There was gaps. Whenever we've seen her, there's been gaps. You can tell. All right, okay. You can take advantage of that. You can take advantage of that when she's fighting. But one thing that you can absolutely not teach is heart and determination. And she's got it in spades, man. Spades of the stuff. So I'm interested. 15 months out. Okay, what have you been doing? Show me something fresh, man, on Saturday night.
She's 10 fights into her professional career, 8-2 record. I say she bounced back from that painful defeat in London, but again, that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. Get her feet back on the ground, slow her down. She bounced back 5 months later with a Von Flue choke herself. And then she built on that before the end of the year in 2022 with another win as well, points decision. She had 23 off, as you point out, and as far as the record suggests, that she wasn't scheduled to fight at all in 2023 either. So, but she can afford to do that because she's 24 years of age, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So, I'm excited to see her this weekend. As far as I know, she's still with Team Alpha Male. As far as you know, she's still got Jack Mason in the corner. Nothing's changed in that regard. If it has, we'll find out Saturday night. But I've got no issue with her taking a year off, as long as when she comes back, we see where that year's gone. Do you know what I mean? You can see where the last 18 months have been spent. Oh, okay. Sound. We knew there was a whole X, Y, Z. You've closed X and Y. You've only got Z to work on now. Sensational. Because talent-wise, Corey McKenna's got raw talent to go an awful long way in this sport. An awful long way. And to see her putting it together, good. Good, man. I'm excited.
I'm actually going to an Apex show behind closed doors.
Nice. Not this one, though, is it? Is it the one after?
I'm going to Rose Namajunas and Amanda Ribas, which I'm excited about because that as a main event is absolutely sensational.
Yeah.
Big Mick Parkin's on it, so I'm expecting something a bit flashy. I'm a bit gutted because I wanted to watch Davey Grant in that environment, and he pulled out of his fight, didn't he? When was that?
Oh, that's right. Week. Yeah, he pulled out this week. Yeah. He's injured, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Gutted for you.
Yeah, so I was looking forward to seeing David Grant do his thing. But yeah, Rose Namajunas and Amanda Ribas. I'm fascinated because
I know why before you went, I love the Tappers. I love the Tappers. One of the Tappers is on this card as well. That's why.
You know it.
I was like, why has Adam just gone big on the Tapper brothers? Now I know. You're going to be nose with them in a week's time.
Okay, right. Listen, me and you were lucky enough, and I'm sure there's a lot of fight fans that are watching this that haven't had this experience. But me and you have been lucky enough to have, during the pandemic, we did still get to go to fights. I mean, we were there when Habib called time on his career.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to refer to that. Watching fights behind closed doors is a very, very unique and weird experience. I haven't watched one as of yet inside that Apex. So I'm looking forward to, even though from a television point of view, it doesn't pop as much as a numbered card or a fight night card or anything like that. Not going back on my word on that. I want to know what it feels like once you're in there. Because I imagine it being a very gym feel. You know what I mean? Like when you're in the gym and you're watching people spar or you're watching people do a couple of hard rounds.
Yeah.
Obviously that may be an extra 5-10% because it's a proper fight because they ain't got the protective gear on. But atmosphere wise, I'm interested to see what the crack is with that. Especially with Hebas and Rose Namajunas, who were both incredibly loud when the strike, especially Hebas, she blooming yells every bloody 2 minutes, doesn't she? She's like a bloody tennis player. So it's going to be interesting to see what that comes across like.
Yeah, Mick Parton's fighting Kamaru's brother as well. So
yes.
Kamaru Usman's going to be knocking about the gaff as well. Be an interesting, interesting.
Big Mo interesting is like massive, man. He is gigantic, isn't he? Mick Parkin.
Mick Parkin ain't the biggest heavyweight. Far from it. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's what we like to say up in the Northeast.
That's what they say. Anyway, more on that next week. So we've got back-to-back Apexes before we start getting all excited about UFC 300 and Las Vegas, which I'm sure a lot of people are absolutely buzzing for.
Before we sign off, just want to say a quick get well soon to the legend himself, the one and only Mark Coleman. I don't know whether you've seen this story.
But yes, I did.
Inside the last 24 hours, there was a fire at Mark Coleman's family home in Ohio. And they were actually, it was in the middle of the night. They were woken by their family dog barking to alert them to the fact the house was on fire. And Mark Coleman, who, you know, is certainly getting on now, the Hall of Famer, the legend himself, the King of the Hammer Fists, he actually rescued his aging parents. So they must be easily in their 80s or whatever. He picked them up, carried them both out of the burning building to save both their lives, both his parents, his mum and his dad. Actually went back in for the family dog, the hero of the hour, who is aptly named Hammer, by the way. Obviously, could Mark Coleman have a dog named any other way? From what I gather, the last report I read, unfortunately, the dog perished as Mark went back in to get the dog. But then Mark himself had to be rescued from the building after he inhaled an awful lot of smoke. And he's actually on a life support machine. Headline I read, somewhere in Ohio. So obviously our well wishes go to Mark, his entire family. He is a legend. He's a Hall of Famer, man, for good reason. And it's no surprise that we learn of the heroics that he displayed because he showed them his entire career. And we just hope now that he's able to battle through this one last big fight to stay on the planet with us. So yeah, all the best of love, nothing but well wishes to Mark Coleman.
Well said, mate. Well said. You can subscribe to our podcast via that red button that's underneath Nick's screen there. If you click that, it'll ask you to subscribe, hit it, and you'll become part of the Fight Disciples family. You'll never miss out on any of our content, whether it be boxing or MMA. So please subscribe to us there. That'll take you to YouTube. If you want an audio feed, there's links to that in the video. On YouTube, we'll take you to Spotify, take you to Google Play, take you to Apple, whatever you want from an audio point of view. We do the lot and it's all available on our website as well, fightdisciples.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.